Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Matt Katz from the WNYC and Gothamist Newsroom, filling in for Brian, who is off today. Coming up on today's show, we're going to hear from Kelly McEvers, who hosts NPR's Embedded podcast, about her latest season, which goes deep on the Yonkers Police Department and its attempts at reform. Plus, monarch butterflies are now officially endangered. We'll talk to a naturalist who will share tips for how you can attract them to your garden, maybe save the species. And newborn baby blood used to solve crimes years later? I'll have two guests who will explain what that's all about. But first, early voting for the August 23rd New York primary starts a week from Saturday. This second primary was scheduled when a judge threw out the state's congressional and state Senate district maps for being too rigged to elect Democrats. And the new maps have created some very competitive contests. One of the most watched races is among Democrats who are vying to represent the new 12th congressional district. This district now runs river to river in Manhattan from roughly 14th Street to the upper 90s and 100s. That means both sides of Central Park, and it means that longtime incumbents Carolyn Maloney, whose home base has been on the east side, and Gerald Nadler, who has represented the west side, are now in the same district. So they met for a debate last night, which aired on WNYC and Spectrum New York One, and they were joined by candidate Serge Patel, who came very close to defeating Maloney in the 2020 primary. The debate was co-moderated by New York One's Errol Lewis and by our very own Bridget Bergen, who joins me now. Hey, Bridget, how are you?
Good morning, Matt.
You did a great job in that debate. I listened to it on WNYC. It was really interesting, and we're going to get into it. Listeners, did you watch the debate? Did you listen to it? And if you did it change your mind at all about who you're supporting, especially if you're voting in this primary? Let us know your reaction and what your decision will hinge on. You can tweet us at Brian Lehrer or call us at 212-433-4333. WNYC 212-433-9692. Let's start off, Bridget. I'm going to play three excerpts from the opening statements at the debate.
I'm Carolyn Maloney. I'm a mother, a former educator, and the congresswoman for the 12th Congressional District in New York. I'm a proven progressive leader with a record of delivering results to the city of New York.
Our country stands at a crossroads with our democracy at stake, with a runaway Supreme Court upending 50 years of precedent and eliminating women's right to choose, and an insurrectionist Republican Party for the first time in our history trying to stop the peaceful transfer of power.
1990s Democrats have lost almost every battle to Mitch McConnell and Republicans. Trumpism is on the rise, even if we defeated Trump. To defeat it, we need people with new ideas and energy. Now, tonight you're going to hear two distinct arguments from three candidates. Two of them are going to be talking about the past, and I'm going to be talking about the future.
That was Jerry Nadler. I think we first heard Jerry Nadler, then Carolyn Maloney, and then Serge Patel. Bridget, you know, Maloney really hit on that theme of delivering results. Nadler also, their experience and the fact that their time in office has given both, he referred to both himself and Maloney as having, you know, this experience and the time that has allowed them to have all this street cred down in Washington. Meanwhile, Serge Patel was trying to make this a two-way contest between youth, himself, and then age, his opponents. Did they do a good job of sticking to those messages?
In that respect, Matt, I think they really did. I mean, it's important to keep in mind not just the two long-term incumbents who are on stage. These are long-term incumbents who are committee chairs of two of the most powerful committees in Congress. Carolyn Maloney chairs the House Oversight Committee. Congressman Nadler chairs the House Judiciary Committee. And these are places where important things in Congress happen. And while I think Serge Patel did demonstrate that he has a lot of ideas, he does have energy. The candidates, when they were ushered into the debate room, were all behind podiums where they had the option to sit or stand. Serj Patel was on his feet, you know, practically on his toes the whole time. Congressman Nadler was, he took a seat. And Congressman Maloney was, you know, she was standing most of the time. She took a seat briefly at one point. But I think just that sort of visual demonstration of the difference in their energy and vitality was striking. But at the same rate, those incumbents could point to the fact that they did have, as Congressman Nadler said, you know, certain clout because they have put in the years in Washington.
It was fascinating to see Maloney and Nadler really avoid going after each other. I mean, you could just imagine the amount of time they've spent together on Capitol Hill, maybe on Amtrak's going back and forth from New York to D.C. through the years. And you and Errol really had to kind of press them on their differences. Like, how is a liberal in Manhattan supposed to choose between these two candidates? Is it awkward for them going up against each other? And what was your take in terms of how they handled differentiating themselves from each other last night?
You know, I think, Matt, there is a certain amount of awkwardness. You know, Congresswoman Maloney said more than once, you know, I hate to be running against my friend, you know, friend in air quotes, like maybe frenemy would be a better term. Certainly they have been allies on issues. Certainly they have been, you know, neighbors in adjoining districts. But these are also, you know, individuals who have been in office for 30 years, you know, while, you know, they, Congressman Nadler hasn't faced real stiff competition. Congresswoman Maloney has faced primary challenges, including obviously Serj Patel, who has run against her twice before. And so, you know, she knows that this, you know, for each of them is an existential fight. Whoever wins this, you know, the loser is not running for office again, most likely.
Right.
And so I think that that is one of the issues. And then also, I think one of the things you saw was they were friendly with each other and, you know, until they were really forced to distinguish from each other in terms of what they've accomplished in the positions they've taken. And when we ask that, since that is the question that, you know, I get and that we have heard from voters most often is, you know, how do I choose between these two? I think of them, you know, as being essentially so much the same. They do share positions on so many issues, but there were some votes that they had taken that were very different. Congressman Nadler voted against the Iraq War, against the Patriot Act, and in favor of the Iran deal. And Congresswoman Maloney voted the opposite on those particular issues. Those are distinct differences. And then I think Congresswoman Maloney tried to really demonstrate that she has had success bringing resources to her district. And then in some respects, they tried to claim credit for some of the same accomplishments.
Let's play a clip where there was an accomplishment. This is the infrastructure project, the Second Avenue subway. And here is Maloney talking about Nadler.
So when he claims credit for getting all the money for the Second Avenue subway, I wonder why didn't he get money for his freight tunnel that was in his district? I am so used to people claiming credit for my work. And I would just say that it was Truman who said it. You can accomplish a great deal if you just share the credit. You don't claim any credit. So you can claim all the credit you want. I have now 100 projects that I've completed. You can claim credit for that, too.
Bridget, I mean, that was like as contentious as it got between them, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that and to set that up a little bit, that was a response to a question about major infrastructure projects that have been underway that, you know, they were particularly asked to choose, you know, among some upcoming infrastructure or ongoing infrastructure projects and explain how they would, you know, get them to the finish line, specifically the transformation of Penn Station, the Gateway Tunnel, and then the completion of East Side Access and extension of the Second Avenue subways. And that, you know, sort of elicited some response in terms of what they have already accomplished. Congressman Nadler was first to answer And one of the things that he did was claim credit for securing funding for the Second Avenue subway as the ranking Northeast member on the Transportation Committee. When it was Congresswoman Maloney's opportunity to respond to that, she was very quick to note that he has talked about the need for this freight tunnel as something that he has talked about for years and years. And that is actually in his former 10th district, the west side of the district, mm-hmm. and that is not completed. And so she was essentially pointing to the fact that the infrastructure project that she was, putting her effort behind is something that has come farther along than this thing that he has been talking about for so many years. And then I think if you really listen to how she frames her response there, she's also, the way I heard it, and perhaps that is in part because I am a woman reporter listening to her response, I felt like part of what she was saying there also was, men are always claiming credit for something a woman does.
Right.
And so I think there was that implication in her response as well.
As the only woman on the stage last night, she was certainly making that distinction there. Listeners, if you watched last night's debate, if you're in this new district and you want to ask Bridget a question about her job covering this whole campaign and also moderating this debate last night, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's go to Mike on the Upper West Side. Mike's in Nadlerville up there on the west side of Manhattan in the base for Jerry Nadler. Hi there, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I am indeed in Nadlerville, and I will be supporting him. I think it's unfortunate that we have two strong incumbents like this having to compete against one another. That said, I didn't think Jerry Nadler had a particularly strong debate, but I think it was just an off evening. It certainly doesn't discount his strong progressive voting record. And on that, I just wanted to say, I think Carolyn Maloney at one point said that she and Nadler were tied for a progressive voting record. I did look that up. Nadler gets about a 30, ranks about a 30. She's somewhere over 100. So wow. I'm not sure what her claim there was.
Thank you, Mike. Bridget, can you fact check that for us? Does one candidate or the other have a particularly more progressive record?
Well, I haven't looked up. I don't know where Mike looked up that stat. What I can say is certainly Congressman Nadler has picked up some of the more progressive endorsements in this race. The Working Families Party was out of the gate, right after the new redistricting maps were out, and it showed that Nadler and Maloney were going to be drawn into the same district. The Working Families Party was right behind Nadler. Senator Elizabeth Warren is one of his big supporters. And I think that speaks to, a sense that he is more among the most progressive candidates in this race.
And Mike was saying that Nadler did not have a strong performance. I mean, I don't know exactly what he was referring to, but I do know that there was a gaffe that Nadler made that was particularly notable, right?
Yeah, I think Mike is right that even as he is a supporter of Nadler, it would be hard to say that was a great debate night for the congressman. Mm-hmm. In his opening statement, he talked about how he had been the lead on the two Bush impeachment trials. Clearly he was referring to the Trump impeachments. And there were a few other moments where he just seemed a bit less engaged, maybe a little a step off the other candidates. There was a question at one point where Serj Patel, part of the rules for the debate were that if you were mentioned by the candidates, you had the opportunity to respond. Serj Patel mentioned both members of Congress in his response at one point. Maloney was very quick to want to respond to that. And then when I offered Congressman Nadler the opportunity to respond, it almost seemed to surprise him. Hmm. And he just declined to say anything else.
Hmm. We should note, by the way, that there is another woman on the ballot, Ashmi Sheth, but she didn't qualify for the debate. So there are now there are two women on the ballot. Serj Patel would be the first Indian American to represent the city in Congress, which is an interesting point. And then Jerry Nadler, if he were to lose, there would be no Jewish members of the New York City delegation left in Congress. Did those identity issues come up at all? I'm sure it is a concern for some Jewish voters to not have Jewish representation from New York in Congress. Did Nadler make any sort of appeal in that regard?
You know, he really didn't. He leaned more into the seniority, the clout, the expertise that he brought to the position. At one point, Serj Patel talked about how he had written an op-ed, and the topic is escaping me. And, you know, Congressman Nadler had sort of a jolt of energy and said, you know, I didn't write an op-ed. I picked up the phone and called the president. And it really distinguished between the stature of these people who are debating for the same position. In terms of identity, I think we heard some from Congressman Maloney, as we mentioned before, maybe somewhat subtly kind of referencing the way she, as a woman leader, was fighting against perceptions of or fighting against the idea that she doesn't get credit for the work that she does. She made the strong point that she felt like she's never been sharper. She's never been more effective. And she certainly was, you know, she had a very strong performance last night. We also heard her in her opening statement refer to being a mother. And I think that was some good context, but I don't think it was something she hammered home too much. And then the real obvious difference was this idea of, you know, long-term incumbents who are in their 70s versus this new generation of leadership bringing new ideas and new representation to this district.
The notable exchange involving Maloney came at the top. Your first question to the candidates was about monkeypox, which led to one of Serj Patel's chief attacks on Maloney, that she has, over her time in Congress, questioned vaccine safety. Let's hear a little bit of that question and her response.
Ms. Maloney, during your time in office, you raised questions about the connection between certain childhood vaccines and autism. Scientists have resoundingly said there is no link between autism and vaccines. Given the ongoing challenge posed by vaccine hesitancy related to the COVID-19 vaccine, did you spread misinformation about vaccines?
Absolutely not. And you're referring to something I said in a hearing roughly 20 years ago. I support vaccines. I support the science behind vaccines.
Patel then countered.
In 2015, Congressman Maloney introduced a vaccine bill with Ron Paul, of all people. In 2005, she was at an anti-vaccine rally. In 2009, she was at an anti-vaccine rally with Jenny McCarthy. She introduced 9 different bills. Even if we grant the simple idea that all we were doing was studying, the fact of the matter is that these were proven safe decades ago.
And then she responded.
I did go on a bill that was for a study, and that was 20 years ago. Look at my record. What have you done? Achievements speak louder than words.
What have you done? Bridget, can you fact check some of this for us? I mean, this is, kind of a big deal. This is, COVID era, monkeypox era, vaccines. Does Maloney have an anti-vax history that's relevant in 2022?
You know, this is Serj was referring to some of the more controversial positions Congresswoman Maloney has taken. She did raise questions about the connection between certain childhood vaccines and the increased risk of autism. She has, why were children given so many vaccines at the same time? And this was not a singular question or a singular moment. This was over a period of years. As recently, as far back as you know, the early 2000s and as recently as 2015 in the 2015-2016 Congress, when she was on a piece of legislation where the language states it would require a comprehensive study comparing total health outcomes, including risk of autism in vaccinated populations in the United States versus unvaccinated populations in the United States. So, you know, I don't think it is an unfair question at this point. And one of the things I don't think we got an answer to is, you know, what was driving this line of inquiry? You know, her response, which, you know, was a little flip by the end of it, where she didn't quite apologize for raising these questions, but said, you know, if we can't just study things anymore, you know, like, what's becoming of us, essentially? But this was after, you know, there was mountains of scientific evidence that indicated there was no connection between these childhood vaccinations and autism. And so I think, given, as you said, in an era of COVID, in an era of monkeypox, it is a completely relevant and valid question to press on. In her defense, she also has brought vaccine resources into her current district. And I think that is a fair thing for her to respond with. It doesn't answer the question, though, however, about why she was raising this other question about, you know, which has really contributed to the growth of the anti-vax movement dating back to 2008, 2009. You know, Serge invoked this particular rally where Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey were there. You know, this is a movement that, you know, how long you can draw this line between people who are, you know, resisting childhood vaccinations. And now we are seeing, you know, diseases that were at one point eliminated, if not eradicated, from parts of the country, right, reemerging. So I think it's a very fair question.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Matt Katz from the WNYC newsroom, filling in for Brian. And we're talking to senior politics reporter Bridget Bergen about last night's debate involving candidates from the 10th Congressional District. We are going to play a clip. This involves Joe Biden, and it was a very interesting exchange. This is moderator Errol Lewis, your co-moderator, asking about whether Biden should run for re-election.
Should President Biden run again in 2024?
Yes.
Mr. Nadler.
Too early to say. It doesn't serve the purpose of the Democratic Party to deal with that until after the midterms.
Ms. Maloney.
I don't believe he's running for re-election.
I don't believe he's running for re-election. Is that, I mean, that's breaking news, right? I mean, but she walked it back. What happened there?
So she has since tried to say that if he is running for re-election, she would absolutely support him. You know, it was a bit of a jaw-dropping moment. For context, it's important to remember that Serj Patel worked on the Obama campaign and obviously therefore has, you know, some connections to President Biden since he was President Obama's vice president. But to have two long-serving members of the Democratic, you know, delegation within Congress, basically both, you know, not coming out with a full-throated endorsement,
yeah,
suggests that there's real conversations happening about President Biden's future. And certainly Congressman Maloney went a little bit farther, I think, than perhaps even she intended to at the time. But I think it's probably a window into what's really happening in the Beltway. And it was great to have some news in a debate.
Sure, sure. We actually have a caller who wanted to talk about that. Mark in Inwood. How you doing, Mark?
Great. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks for having me. Thanks for taking my call. I listened to the entire debate last night, and I was impressed with Carolyn Maloney. I thought she was very energetic and very experienced, a great combination. And this response to this question, to me, I think we have to listen carefully to the language. Errol Lewis asked whether Biden should run again. Carolyn Maloney didn't answer that question, but she said that she didn't. Her response was predictive. She thought that he was not running. And of course, Biden isn't going to announce this prior to midterms. He's going to take the stance that he's going to run. But I think there's a lot of people, both in and out of, you know, political circles, that believe he's not going to run again. So she I think, gave a very direct and honest answer that she thinks he's not going to run again. It wasn't, as she is now clarifying, it's not a question of whether or not she's supporting him. I mean, of course, I'm sure she'd support an incumbent Democratic president, you know, nominee of the party. But she made a prediction that he's not running again. And I think a lot of people believe this. And I don't think that this should be interpreted as a lack of support for him. She'd support him if he's running.
Right.
But
right.
She thinks he's not going to.
Got it. She was giving some astute political analysis, but maybe not. Maybe a bit of a distraction for debate purposes. Thanks a lot for calling, Mark. Appreciate it, Bridger. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to you more on this debate with my guest and colleague Bridger Bergen in just a moment. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Brian, who is off today. And we're talking to Bridger Bergen about last night's debate, which she co-moderated among the leading contenders in the 10th Congressional District's Democratic primary. Okay, so Bridger, Congressman Nadler is the chair of the Judiciary Committee, while Carolyn Maloney chairs the House Oversight and Reform Committee, both key spots. Suraj Patel, he's the newcomer. He points to fresh ideas and the need for younger voices in the Capitol. Here's how Nadler responds to that.
With seniority comes clout and the ability to get things done. That's the way Congress works. Seniority brings you clout. It brings you the ability to get things done. Some people use it more effectively than others, but I think both Carolyn and I have used that clout very effectively.
Bridget, this is a key question in the race. It's experience versus new ideas. Did Suraj Patel have new ideas that he was able to counter to the clout that Nadler and Maloney said that they bring to the job?
I mean, I think Suraj has, you know, if you go to his website, he has an idea for everything. He has policies for addressing, you know, everything from climate to that was one of the issues that I thought was really interesting when we talked about the environment. We asked about different ways to address the flood-prone infrastructure in New York. Congressman Nadler talked about building seawalls, where, as you know, Suraj Patel talked about, you know, reimagining the New York Harbor, which is less of an actual freight harbor than it used to be, and restoring the habitat there, you know, with oysters and the types of living things that can help absorb and essentially serve as a sponge, as more ecologically friendly ways to help protect the environment and to protect New York. It was one of, you know, a series of different ideas he offered. I don't think that there's any question that Patel offers a lot of new approaches and new ideas for how to address some of the issues within the district. The question, though, always is, what can you actually get done? Because when you are a new member, and likely a new member who will be in the minority if things, you know, turn out as predicted, that's obviously,
sure,
you know, unsure, but like if Democrats go into the minority, then you go into this new seat as a freshman member in the minority. And so it takes a lot of work to get things done. I think, you know, he sort of envisioned himself in the shadow or in the footsteps of Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Congressmembers Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Richie Torres, and sort of saw a way to carve a path. But it is very hard. And you know, there's a reason why Congressmembers Nadler and Maloney are chairs of committees after being in this body for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to build up that street cred.
Yeah. Yeah. And he brought up those members, those newer members of Congress by name. Let's go to a caller who is outside of the district but wants to, I think, talk about the impact of this race writ large. Eric in North Bergen, New Jersey. Hey there, Eric.
Hi there, Mr. Katz. I follow you, and Ms. Bergen, I'm a huge fan. Thank you both for your effort. And I listened to the whole debate last night. Credit to Ms. Bergen for her, her questions and keeping all of our attention. I thought it was a great debate. Part of their camaraderie with each other leads me to my question. I'm so sorry to lose either Ms. Maloney or Mr. Nadler. I loved what Patel had to say, and while I'm not a New Yorker, I think the two leading candidates in question are national figures, and I think it's very lamentable for the Democratic Party as a whole that we're forced with this conundrum where one of them will be lost, considering their clout, considering the arguments they made for their expertise and their, you know, excellent record, progressive record. I want maybe both of you to have a short conversation on the tragedy that the Democratic Party is suffering under this, kind of sudden development in the district.
It was really sudden. And thank you very much for the call, Eric. I mean, little background here, Bridget. How did this happen? Why are we in this strange predicament where Democrats in August are being forced to choose between two members of Congress and kicking one out after 30 years?
Well, we will not be able to talk about this enough, but it all goes back to redistricting. That is the process that comes up every 10 years to redraw district lines based on the latest census data. Often if you read stories outside of New York, there's been a lot of complaints, concerns about partisan gerrymandering, particularly in red states where Republican legislatures have, you know, drawn their districts to favor Republican members. Well, here in New York, we have a Democratic supermajority in the state legislature. Now, initially, what was supposed to happen is there was, in theory, going to be a bipartisan, apolitical effort to redraw these districts. There was a independent redistricting commission that had been established. But because of the membership of that commission, they ended up failing at their effort and produced two sets of maps. Because of that, the state legislature took over, drew its own maps, drew them to favor Democrats, and they were sued. Mm-hmm. And it went to the highest court in the state. And ultimately, the ruling was that this was partisan gerrymandering. New districts needed to be drawn. A special master, an expert in district drawing and in map making, was brought in from Pittsburgh, a professor named Jonathan Service, who redrew these maps and did not, by any account, really take into consideration incumbents. Mm-hmm. And so that is how we ended up with a new 12th congressional district that stretches across Manhattan, as you mentioned before, doing the unthinkable of uniting the East and West sides into one district. But, if you go back and look at the history of the districts in Manhattan, it is almost unthinkable. They are very, there's a distinct character to the East and the West sides of Manhattan. And for, going back as far as maps that I could find online, before 1953, they had separate representatives. And for a very long time, the East, the district that included the Upper East Side also included portions of Queens and Brooklyn. And so that really changes the character of the district. You even heard Maloney refer to some of that last night in terms of the different communities that she has been representing.
Yeah, she said she was sad about losing these communities in Brooklyn and Queens and because of this redistricting.
Yeah, and so, I think to Eric's point, like, how did we end up here? Well, we ended up here because we had a district drawn with two members living and representing portions of that district, and neither one wanted to run in a different district. Now, of course, one of them could have run in the open 10th congressional district that currently has 13 candidates on the ballot. At one point, even former Mayor Bill de Blasio was one of the active candidates running. There's no incumbent there. And so an incumbent, there is another member of Congress running, I should note, of course, Mondaire Jones, who used to represent the 17th Congressional District in the Hudson Valley, decided to come down into the city as opposed to challenge Sean Patrick Maloney, who is also the head of the DCCC. But there is a case to be made that, you know, either Congressman Nadler, who's, you know, portions of his current district fall within the new 10th district, could have made the case. He could have been running as the congressman from the 10th district, because that is the current district he represents. You could potentially make the case that Maloney could have also run in that district, but they both live in the current 12th.
Right.
And they both have, you know, their bases are Nadler's the Upper West Side, Maloney's the Upper East Side. And so, you know, after 30 years of representing these respective districts, I think it's a pretty big leap. But I do understand, and I will tell, you know, the caller is echoing what I hear from so many voters, which is why do we have to choose? And it's going to be fascinating to see how they make that decision come August 23rd.
Sure. And then the other big variable here is it's an August primary, August in New York. Who's going to turn out for this? I mean, is this going to be a turnout question when it comes to who wins this four-person primary?
I mean, I think, Matt, any election in New York that is not a presidential election is a turnout question.
Mm-hmm.
We have primaries and special elections at this point, what feels like scattered throughout the year. And it will really be about who has the ground game to get voters to, you know, apply for absentee ballots if they are decamped to wherever they are for the summer, or to show up for the 9 days of early voting or on primary day. I think it's going to take a lot of work from all of these campaigns. But I do think, you know, unlike perhaps some of these state Senate primaries that maybe are getting less attention, the advantage in this particular race is it's certainly getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the voters in this district are more likely to have had a contact with a candidate or a volunteer. And so that should help turnout to some degree. But yeah, I mean, we're talking dog days of summer. Like,
right.
People are, you know, this is when people are out in the Hamptons or up in the Hudson Valley or wherever they go right before school begins.
Right, exactly right. I mean, it feels like one of the least populated weeks in New York City, that like third week in August.
absolutely.
So will people, and obviously there's early voting though, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Early voting starts August 13th. It runs through August 21st.
Okay.
I believe there's one day. Yeah.
So if you're going away and you're on the Upper West Side or the Upper East Side, then do the early voting and then you don't have to worry about it. Right.
That's right. And technically, you can still apply for an absentee ballot walking into the Board of Elections up until the day before primary day. So, you know, if you've got a trip where you're heading out of town on the 23rd and you were really busy during all of early voting, you could still go to your BOE office on the 22nd and apply for an absentee ballot.
Bridget Bergen is
our... fill it out in the office.
Yes. Amazing. Bridget Bergen is our elections expert, our politics expert, and was the moderator for last night's debate for the 10th Congressional District's Democratic primary.
And then the 12th.
Oh, wait. Right. The 12th is the... Is this,
12th
is this
Manhattan.
Is the one we've been talking about. The 10th is the crowded
next
one.
Next week's the 10th, the wild and woolly 10th Congressional District.
And is there a debate coming
yes.
for that?
Next Wednesday, again, Errol Lewis and I will be moderating a debate with six of the candidates in that 10th congressional district. And that's the one that's lower Manhattan and stretches across the waterfront in Brooklyn all the way into neighborhoods like Park Slope and Borough Park and Sunset Park. It's a really interesting, exciting race, very dynamic candidates. you know, imagine the three candidates who went back and forth and multiply that by two. There'll be six, and we're going to try to get as much substance from them as we were able to get from the candidates last night. That'll also be on WNYC and on Spectrum New York One starting at 7, and that will be a 2-hour debate.
Oh, amazing. Can't wait. Thanks, Bridget. Appreciate it.
Thank you.